The following podcast is a presentation of the Washington College of Law at American University. Any unauthorized use or distribution is strictly prohibited.
So I'm Professor Kryam. This is Angie McCarthy. And we are the Women in Law Program. Professor Shalek will actually be along in a little while. She has class until 3:30 also. Probably, like, if you just tell me your name, I can actually speak to you as a person. You want to introduce yourself to say who you are and what year you are?
My name is Medina Qasimi. I'm from Afghanistan. Mm-hmm. I'm a part-time LLM student.
Part-time LLM? Okay,
yeah.
Great.
And so that's why I'm here to know about the summer program and also for the evening classes during the fall semester. So this is
Great. So some of your questions might be a little bit different, so just hang on, okay?
It is.
Okay.
Because of the time.
Yeah, of course. We're really excited that you're here. And Allie, you want to introduce yourself? Are you graduating, Allie?
I am graduating.
We're done. We're done with course advising for you.
I am, but I've taken a lot of these.
Oh, there you go. Very cool. Allie is our Dean's Fellow at the Women in the Law Program. So if anybody wants to ask her questions about coming to work for us and how awesome that is, she's the one to ask. And what's your name?
My name is Ruby. I'm a volunteer, and I'm interested in women's rights.
Great. And what about you?
My name is Megan. I'm also a volunteer.
Okay. Do you have a particular area of interest?
Well, I'm also really interested in health law.
Wonderful. Okay.
So we've been wanting to combine those somehow.
Yeah. We're big on women's health and LGBT health issues. So we'll figure out how to help you square those interests. Let me start with, hi, Anne.
Hello.
This is Professor Shalek, who's in the right place.
502.
Right.
Which is 504.
Yeah. What? Did my email say 502?
This does.
Oh.
So amazing that you all made it.
One of the elevators is 504.
Maybe it was an older
there was
version.
There's also a thing that we had to get a 1L2 for advising that said this term.
Said 504?
Yeah.
Well, there we go.
Sorry,
Anne. I'm glad you got here.
I'll go check out the code. Okay. Well, this room is always impossible to find, so.
Right.
I think it was 504.
Oh, we were actually going to turn that on. Yeah.
Oh, you want me to turn it down?
No, it's okay. But I actually.
I thought I was doing a good thing and I was doing a bad thing.
That's okay. So, this is Professor Shalek. She runs the Women in the Law Program as well as the Women and the Law Clinic and teaches the joint seminar with the Domestic Violence Clinic. So if either of you, these are our two 1Ls, are interested in learning more about those opportunities, she can also speak to that as well as teaching feminist jurisprudence. Let me tell you a little bit about the pieces of paper that Angie handed you back there. The first one is just a schedule to help you kind of visualize where everything fits together.
And I will say that with the caveat to keep checking the registrar's website because this is accurate as of right now. It could change.
Okay. And then we have a list of all of the classes that are specifically focused on gender and law on the front. As well as one, it tails over to the back of that next sheet. And then we have a second category of classes that are not specifically gender classes, but often include a really large gender component, like family law, like asylum law. And so we basically talk to the faculty members who teach those classes and say, hey, do you do a unit specifically addressing gender? So what that means is that they do probably at least 1 week of the semester really specifically thinking through the issues faced by either women or LGBT people during the course of a much larger class that covers lots of other issues. And that last category is a class where what we call our sort of hidden feminists, which are people or classes that you might not expect the professor to be really open to a feminist perspective or a queer theory perspective. But those professors are really, so my very favorite one on that whole list is secured transactions.
I was gonna say.
That's right. And it sounds like you know, it's just a very classic business law curriculum class, but Professor Hughes, when she was a student, wrote articles about gender and law and thinks really seriously about these issues. And so, you know, for one, it's sort of really indicating it's a nice safe space to ask a question about how, for example, business laws might benefit women or be interpreted in ways that do or don't, and whether the rules of secure transactions have a gendered component. And our thesis is always that if you look hard enough, chances are you will find a gender lens and a way to understand gender through these classes. So, so that's the kind of important part about what we have right there. Did you have a question?
So the courses listed on the back here, are these just that are being offered in the fall?
That's right. Okay. That's right. We have a new one of these lists every semester.
Okay.
So the next four semesters that you're here, you will get your hands on one of these lists before registration. Because it always changes based on what faculty are doing that semester, what's being offered, who's on leave. And sometimes somebody gets to offer something special that they don't usually get to do, and it'll show up on that list. Yeah.
Do any of these have prereqs?
No.
So secure transactions doesn't?
No. Now, we recommend, like, if you're interested in business law and business law classes, it's often a good idea to look at the okay, I can't get the screen to work, but if you look at that screen, you guys familiar with the My Academic Pathways thing? So there's one for business law,
okay.
Right? And so you can kind of see what they consider their foundational classes, and then sort of the other building block classes. And Professor Hughes actually teaches a bunch of other classes. That just happens to be the one that she teaches. But if you're interested in business, you should probably also just send her an email and ask her when her office hours are and if you can come by and talk to her about that, because she'll be really excited to see you. Right? Do you have anything to add to that, Professor Chalik?
If you are interested in business, the other person who teaches in our business law curriculum is Professor Wallace, Perry Wallace.
Mm-hmm.
And he is very, very attentive to issues of gender and race and inequality and mm-hmm. things that you might not necessarily expect of a business law professor. But he is.
He's one of our champions.
He really works to make sure that stuff is integrated in his stuff. So you could sort of be a stealth person in business law and be a very strong feminist at our school.
That's the cool thing about it.
I will also add that the Transactional Law Society's incoming board is all girls this year.
That's
so
great.
If you're interested in doing
transactional business work.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you think about clinic eventually as part of it, our community economic development and the law clinic is heavily transactional. It's not business, but it's helping community groups think through how to do community development, which is oftentimes part of doing business, incorporating organizations, community groups that want to do some business-related thing, community groups that want to acquire property, community groups that want to start a new program, and how do you finance? I mean, so there's a lot of the thinking that is involved in that program that overlaps with a lot of business law skills as well as substantive topics.
So, Professor Shalik, do you want to talk a little bit about your feminist jurisprudence class and how we kind of see the building block classes as a way, if you don't have a lot of background in women in the law yet, or you're you have a background in women's studies but not necessarily merging that with law, about some of the classes that we see as the entry point classes for you, one of which Professor Shalik teaches?
Is feminist jurisprudence, which is really weird. Because almost everything we do is a little bit weird. Because at most schools, feminist jurisprudence is like a really esoteric course for people who are interested in legal theory and feminism and not practicing stuff, but really thinking theoretically. And we really have flipped it here. That it is one of our gateway courses. It's an entry course where we get everybody from students who are thinking about gender issues for the very first time through students who are LLMs or SJD students who are specializing in some aspect of feminism.
internationally or domestically. And the course works for everybody, and the combination of people across that spectrum is very exciting. And the course is designed so that whatever level and whatever kind of interest you come in, we'll accommodate you. That this is the student experience that guides what you do in that course. And what we do is we work through, I think I have 9 different feminist theories up there. But then every class is built around the subjects that the students in the class are interested in. So this year we had somebody who was particularly interested in experiences of women on the street, catcalling. So you bring in an experience every week, you write about it, you relate that experience to the different feminist theories that we're studying, and how do those feminist theories help you think about it. You write that essay, somebody else responds to it, somebody else writes questions about it, and then there are 4 or 5 students who go every week with that cluster, and we build the class around student experiences. Somebody else was interested in sexual harassment on college campuses, a big issue these days. Another student was interested in international criminal tribunals and the treatment of whether or not it was good or bad to treat rape as a separate war crime in those contexts, whether or not it was good for women or not, whether or not that was a good move. So you see there's an enormous diversity. We build the class around your interests, and then we see how these different theories, like, well, if you come with an equality, if you're thinking about how to make women, get men and women to be treated equally, well, how would you structure things? But if your goal is to think about, okay, how is caregiving allocated in our society, and is feminism really designed around making caregiving more central to our social institutions, that might take you to a different place than an equality analysis takes you to. If you're looking at the experience of women in that's resulted from colonialism throughout the world, equality might not work and caregiving might not work, but the history of colonialism might work. So we look at these experiences through all different lenses. So you come out with a sense of the theory, and you come out with a deeper understanding of these whatever particular topic you're interested in, and then you get to write a paper on it, and those papers are then developed in the class. It's not just that you write a paper and present it to the class, but you present your, when you're thinking about a topic, you say, oh, I'm interested in sexual harassment on campuses, but I don't know where to begin. Here's like an initial thought I had. And then the class helps you work with that, and then you go back and you do a second round where everybody presents their better developed ideas and readings for the class, so everybody engages with everybody else's topics. So it's a cool class. I love it. That's where I learned so much. You know, I learned all about popular culture. Because my students, of course, bring in popular culture. I see more YouTube videos in that class than I do in the rest of my life.
So in addition, so in the fall, we offer feminist jurisprudence. In the spring, we have a foundational class called Sex-Based Discrimination. That's the entry level to the U.S. statutory anti-discrimination laws. And that's sort of our other kind of entry point building block class, where people are going to look at Title VII, which covers employment discrimination, Title IX, which covers education, and then also housing discrimination. So those are our, so if discrimination in the U.S. is sort of your thing, that lens, right? So like Professor Shalek was saying, what is the lens that you want to apply? If that's of interest to you, that's a really good alternative for somebody who wants to get into these issues. If that is your thing, one of our good feminists is teaching employment discrimination in the fall, so you could sort of learn the basics of employment discrimination and then move into the spring with a deeper focus on the sex-based discrimination cases and doctrine. The third thing that we kind of think of as a building block class, even though it is not specifically a gender class, is family law, because all roots lead back to the family. We can solve all of the problems of discrimination out there in the world, but family law is often where it is the most real for people, the most real for our clients, and almost no matter what we do with our clients, we will find some aspect of family law is really important. Besides that, many states on the bar, so you might as well knock it off. And we have great, great teachers who are teaching. Two of our very, very finest are teaching our family law classes in the fall. And so that's a really good third entry point to getting into this kind of thinking. In both of the family law classes that are being offered in the fall, in fact, all three of the family law classes we offer, because we offer it in the spring as well, there's a big focus on same-sex families and LGBT families. And so you're going to get that too, along with the traditional divorce, custody, marriage, and adoption that comes with any kind of standard family law class. So that's where we kind of recommend that people begin. But here's the thing: there are no prerequisites in this school for almost anything. So you can just actually jump right in and, you know, hang on to your hat, and you're going to have to, you know, you can jump in anywhere into our curriculum because you've been through the first year, right? We're not starting you from zero. You've been through the first year, and I know that some of you have been introduced to a lot of the basic concepts in some of your other classes, and so we layer our next kind of layer of classes. And this is where it comes down to, what are you really interested in? So if you're really interested in criminal justice issues, if you're really interested in issues of people that people face, say, for example, who are in detention, women and men who are in detention, the gender-based issues there, sexual violence issues, liberty issues, those sorts of things, we have a class for you. And that is Professor Smith's Women, Crime, and the Law class. And that's what that course is really about. And she's one of the leading experts in the entire country on the treatment of sexual violence in detention settings, in prisons and detention centers. So if that's something that you're interested in, if you're particularly interested in domestic violence, violence that occurs in intimate relationships and in the home, we have a class for you that's taught in the evenings. That specifically lets you delve deeply into the questions of domestic violence. If family law might be something that you're interested in, or you're really interested in some of the equality issues, Professor Polakoff, who teaches the basic family law class, also teaches, I think, a one-of-a-kind class. I'm pretty sure nowhere else in the country this class is being offered, which is a seminar specifically on family law for the children of LGBT parents. Right. So all of the adoption and custody issues that arise in that context. And again, Professor Polakoff is one of the leading experts in the country on that specific issue, and has been working on these issues from long before it was hip. Right? Everybody wants to do it now, but Professor Polakoff has been in it from the beginning. So.
And it turns out now there are lots of jobs.
Yeah, right.
To have a specialty in that when you're going out and talking to family law firms.
Yeah.
So the Women, Crime, and Law class, that's a year long.
So what that is that Professor Smith is really focused on helping people write really well. Professor Smith is a beautiful writer. She's one of our faculties, the best writers on our faculty, I think. She's really focused on helping students write better papers. So you guys all have to do an upper level writing requirement, or the LLM students, you have to do your paper requirement for the LLM. And so what she does is she has students in that class in the fall, and that one credit option also is additional research with the librarians, who are going to teach you how all the cool stuff they have in the library works. And then what she does is she tails it on to the spring. So in the spring, you're just working on finishing up that paper. Because what she does is she takes a whole year to help people develop their papers on the subject. So the substance of the class is in the first semester, and then finishing the paper is in the second semester. So if you're looking for a cool way to do your upper level writing requirement, there are a bunch of options in our curriculum. one of which is that one. One of which is Professor Shalit's class, which if you take the 3-credit option, is a good spot for that. You need 3 credits to be able to do that. Professor Polakoff, if you take that Children of LGBT Families seminar and add an additional, it's actually written on the form, you have to add an independent study credit, then, which is sort of the same thing. Professor Shalit has a 2-3 option. Professor Polakoff does it as a 2-credit class plus an independent study. It all comes out to the same number of credits. It's about how you register. So she has her upper level students there, fulfilling that upper level writing requirement. I really like the ones, if you're interested in crime at all, the notion of having a whole year to write a paper, I think is really cool. You know, because you can really take the time to develop it and do a bunch of drafts. If you want to put it into one semester, I think doing it in feminist theory is amazing because you've got all of these other people who are working on really interesting projects at the same time, and a class where you're bringing that into the classroom is, you know, and doing the presentation and doing it, you know, sort of bit by bit through the semester. So those are really good options for you.
Some of my students in feminist jurisprudence do extend it over the year for just that reason, and then we just work it out through independent studies and sort of moving credits around. But you wouldn't have the whole group doing it, which is what you get in women, crime, and the law. Everybody's doing it that way. But some of the students in feminist jurisprudence will just want to get it done in a semester.
Yeah, you just want to get in, get out, get your requirement done, and worry about it later. Yeah, absolutely. So a third option is the class that I teach, which is a class that is not on the list because I teach it in the spring. And so I actually have students who write papers in other classes and then think, oh gosh, I need to make this much better. So I actually sometimes have students from Professor Shalit's class who wrote a paper in the fall and then come to me with a paper, and I say, okay, let's figure out how to make this even better. Right? Because really good writing takes more time sometimes. And so that's the idea. I also, though, have 3Ls who come to me and say, I'm graduating in a semester and I haven't done my upper level yet. And we get it done. So, you know, either way, we won't let you graduate without it. So you will get it done.
So are some of these classes offered in spring? Or
nope.
Is it an entirely different set?
Whole different set, except for family law, which repeats. Family law we offer every semester because it is a bar course, and we think everybody in the entire world should take it. So it's the only one that repeats. Everything else shows up in its semester. So generally speaking, since you're a 1L, they're going to show up twice for you. But I can never guarantee that every class will be on the schedule every semester.
No, absolutely, just because, I mean, there's just so many options.
I know.
They tell you to kind of, like, specialize. I mean, we're just getting all sorts of different type of advice. I think from professors and just attending these like course selection events.
Yeah.
So, how are you confused?
Yeah, I was gonna say this sounds like a question for Professor Shalit.
There's just so many options. And then there's like, you know, you have to take, you know, criminal procedure in your fall semester. So that takes some of your options out. And so it's hard.
It is hard, and our students tend to err on the side of trying to do too much. And so your being careful now will serve you well. So even though things seem cool, there will be other cool things in the future.
Yeah.
Or there will be other things that you just have to get done, and you can get those done in the future, and maybe in your second year you really want to do some cool things when you're more engaged in law school, and by your third year you're kind of, you know, if you're doing a clinic and you're doing something else, you might not, you know, you might just be as happy to be taking a basic corporations course or a basic tax course, because it's just like, you know, you do what you've learned how to do, and it's not so strange, and you do it. So it works differently for everybody. But if you're confused, come talk to us or anybody else, because there are so many mixed messages, different messages. If you listen to them all, you would end up being insane by the time you graduated. And then if you listen to all the student organizations do their pitches, I mean, the whole thing is, it's a chaotic place, and we try to create a little bit of a space in which to let students not be quite so crazed.
So, for example, every year I get students who come in who say, I'm really interested in women's rights. And I say, what does that mean to you? And they say, I don't really know, right? That this is just something that it feels important to me. I'm going to give that student a particular kind of advice, which is explore lots of things, right? Take lots of different classes and see what really grabs you. And it could be something like women in business, right? And we actually have graduates now who are working at the World Bank on this amazing project called Women, Business, and the Law, where they're surveying all the countries of the entire world about their business laws and gender equality, right? So nothing is crazy in that sense. But if you don't know what it is yet, I can't tell you. I'm not going to say to you, well, this is the most important issue, you should work on that. Never listen to anybody who's going to tell you that, right? I get other students who come in knowing exactly what they want to do, right? I came to school to be a prosecutor in domestic violence cases, and that is what I'm going to do. And I always say to that student, are you sure? Explore some other things. Just don't get too, like, narrow-minded. But sometimes, yes, absolutely. And you know what? They call me after they've gotten their, you know, first job, and they're really excited because that's what they told me the first day of school, right? And so that some people are really single-minded and know exactly what they want, and some people are here to explore lots of different things. So you need to think for yourself about which one you are. And that's why our curriculum is set up the way it is, right? That those entry-level classes are designed to be really broad, right? And are designed to help you explore lots of issues, whereas the more specific classes are designed to help you get more in-depth knowledge about, you know, drilling really far down into one topic. So don't worry if you're either one, if you don't know. Now, both of you talked about having an interest in combining your interest in health law with gender. So you should know at the outset there is a reproductive rights course which will run in the spring. Okay, so if you're interested in reproductive health pieces of the curriculum, then that particular area of gender and health will show up. And did you mention your interest in gender to any of the health law faculty that you've spoken with?
I haven't yet. It didn't really come up when I went to the health law advising. It was a lot of explaining different activities and classes and not so much getting feedback from us.
Okay.
I went to the advising session.
Yeah. So I think that's a question of figuring out sort of what various professors are interested in, in terms of health law. And there's a new, she's only new for me. You guys don't know she's new. We have a new a person in law and government who is specifically working with students on who have an interest in health law. She and I have been having conversations about how to integrate gender and health issues. Asha?
Yeah,
so we've been having conversations about how to make sure that's always been sort of an undercurrent running underneath our health law activities. So we want to make sure, and we've had lots and lots of students over the years be able to combine their interest in those two things. And also think about, so if you're in either Professor Shallot's class or my class is the same way students choose their own topic, so you pick a health law topic, right? You're interested in, breast cancer gene patenting, right? That's really specific, has a lot of really fascinating gender components, not to mention really interesting intellectual property and business components. If you can bring all those things together by picking a really good topic for yourself. And through that process, you kind of wind up learning about all of those areas of law and being able to figure out how to synthesize those. But we are here to help you do that. And the best thing to do is to talk to lots of different faculty members about how you might merge your interests. And some people will give you, and everybody will give you a different answer. And there's a great thing to that, right? And then it becomes up to you to figure out which piece of advice to take along those lines. But at the very, very least, that reproductive justice class is being offered next spring. And so that's going to really specifically focus on that.
Both have health law. What does that mean to you? What do you see yourself doing? Why does it spark your interest? Is it something from your past or you're something from your future?
I mean, my interest in it is a present and future experience with it. I'm really interested in public health, and I think I want to do a lot of things with policy. Like, when I went to the health law advising session, they talked a lot about, like, fraud and abuse and, like, mergers and
measures. There's money to be made. There's jobs to be had.
But that stuff really doesn't interest me. But I'm also taking a food drug law class right now, which I think is very, very interesting. And I think I could see myself doing that for a while, but getting bored with it, I guess, and not seeing how I can bring in the gender aspect to that. And I think also with health law, I don't want to work with, like, a lot of insurance companies and things like that. Like, I don't want to be disconnected from people and individuals.
Okay.
And I have a background in, like, women and gender studies, and so, and I think that's one of the things I struggle with is I want to do gender law and I want to do health law, but I don't see, I'm having trouble seeing what that is and, like, what that job is and how to get there, and also balancing internships with classes and not wanting to do, like, I feel like I'm having trouble combining them, and so thinking I have to pick one over the other, and yeah.
Public health, gender, and policy,
there's a whole world
of just that little piece.
Hey, Brooke. Hey. Angie, do you want to talk for a minute about our friends who are out there in the world doing gender, health, and policy for a moment?
Sure. So, welcome. A lot of the intersection is in the reproductive rights, reproductive health arena, but not exclusively. There's a lot of organizations, some that are more community-based, but then also have a policy arm in Washington, D.C., that work on issues like contraception or signing up their members for the Affordable Care Act, or people who should qualify and were told they didn't qualify for certain programs, or Medicaid or Medicare benefits. So there's that kind of nexus with those communities, with LGBT communities in health, so a lot of HIV policy, not necessarily exclusively in the LGBT community, but that's like the Women Walker Health Clinic does a lot of work and direct services with those communities. So there is a lot of work for lawyers to do in the policy arena.
And so, for example, there are two organizations that I can think of right off the bat where we've had a lot of student interns that both use what's called a medical legal service delivery model. Whitman Walker, which originally started out as an HIV clinic but has since expanded and does all kinds of health, health provision for low-income people, and also the Children's Law Center, which serves children mostly in the foster care system, which explicitly has a holistic model where they work on the healthcare issues, particularly the mental health issues of children in foster care, and they work with lawyers, social workers, psychologists, all together to help meet the needs of their children clients, right? So if you can imagine a job where you would be the lawyer part of that, and you'd be working with a team that works on, and particularly, you know, the mental health issues. So here at the school, for example, we have a disability law clinic where people where the student lawyers are representing oftentimes students in the school system, making sure that they are getting the services that they need from the school system. Well, there are huge health issues that are often what are preventing the students from getting those services. And the race and gender implications of how we understand mental health, how we understand physical health, are always operating underneath the surface, right? So those are just a couple of examples of, like, places where our students have put those interests together. So if you want to talk a little bit more about that, after we've answered everybody else's questions, we can. But there's a lot of options in that space right there. And then one project that we've worked on for a long time is we work with the World Health Organization on women's health, prevention of maternal mortality, and LGBT health prevention, working on prevention of violence and also working on special issues of interest to the LGBT community. And we're looking at ways in which we can use human rights law to prevent maternal mortality, for example. So if we can keep women from dying in childbirth through by being lawyers, that would be pretty great. So that's how we bring all those things together. So your instinct that it's there is correct.
Or you think about some other, lots of government jobs, mm-hmm. and some of the, mm-hmm. the people who worked in our law and government office, there was somebody who was, mm-hmm. has been there in lots of different capacities, has just gone back to the government from being in the government, a woman named Lisa Klepper, and is still happy to help our students. Like, she's at gender and health and policy.
That's
and funny. Her new job is health and policy, and she would love to do gender in it. And so... Yeah. If you know you're interested in that, we can start to hook you up with people early who, if you want to do an externship because you would like to do an externship, she could get you an externship in an area that you are already interested in. Not just going to the externship booklet and going through a lot of them and going, that's cool, that's cool, that's cool, that's cool. There are probably lots, some of them are cool, some of them aren't if they sound cool. But we could, you know, help you pull together these different things in different ways.
Okay.
So I think my main interests lie in gender discrimination, and I've seen it, I've experienced it, so mm-hmm. that to me is very interesting in terms of, but I do also have a real interest in the sexual assault that's been happening in the military specifically. And I know that's a very specific issue, so it's kind of nice.
It's enormous, but it's specific.
Yes. Well, it's just enormous, but it affects a lot of people. Yes.
Right, and like mm-hmm. finding a job where I could do that, I just feel as, I don't know, like, I don't know how to do that, I guess. Mm-hmm. But also just with health law, now that I'm taking the food and drug law class, access. So mm-hmm. Communities that are impoverished, that are poor, don't have access to a lot of, you know, clinics or hospitals or medication or information, and so that's something that interests me as well. So trying to figure that out.
Yeah, so in both of those cases, there are places where our students have externed and places where our students have gotten jobs working on exactly those issues. They do exist now, you know, and again, like any, like the most interesting jobs, I'm sorry to say, are the ones that are kind of the hardest to come by, right? So we need to start, you know, thinking through, you know, how to help you meet the right people, get, you know, help you get interested in the right things, all of that. And again, you know, as you're moving through and trying out different aspects of it. But that's often a question of taking a class because you're interested, getting an internship because you're just exploring an area, writing a paper because you want to find out more about it. But all of those things are places where we can talk to you about specific organizations that work on those issues here in D.C. Because there's no issue, no matter how narrow, that there is not an NGO in D.C. like doing right. something about it, right?
I mean, so if you take sexual assault in the military and you say, I can't imagine a job, I mean, we, again, come talk to us, we can imagine it, wonderful entry points. That issue emerges often in people discharged from the military. Not that it didn't exist before,
right.
but it comes up and becomes visible in the legal regulatory world, often through discharges.
Yeah. Legal service providers are starting to work on this issue.
And
a
that is a
Maryland, I know.
Mm-hmm. Big, lots and lots, the ABA has a big initiative around this issue for veterans generally. But if you hooked up with one of those projects that are doing veterans generally and discharges, yeah, you'd see people who are discharged for drugs and people who are discharged for other things, but you will see people discharged with some component of what went on with sexual assault. I guarantee you that. And you would learn about discharge process and procedure and what's fair and what's not and what's available and what's not. And so it would be a way into that, as well as lots of other things. And it's so any areas you all come up with, we'll tell you.
We can help you figure that out.
A speaker here last week who works for a reproductive rights policy organization, but part of their recent policy push was getting access to Plan B and abortion access to survivors of sexual assault in the military and also in the Peace Corps. So even at the policy level, there's organizations doing work around it.
I want to come around to this side of the table. Are there specific areas that you're interested
yeah,
in?
Yeah, I'm interested in human rights.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but as I mentioned, that I'm a part-time student, so
that's why
I'm looking for the courses that it is on the evening time.
And can you only take evening classes?
Yeah.
Okay.
The only time that I can attend classes is evening time, because during the day I'm working, so.
Right.
What about the summer? Could you take two weeks?
Sure. I'm also looking for some courses during the summer, because
okay.
I will use my vacation for
for
study.
So,
I don't have much time to continue my education for like 2 years or maybe.
Okay.
So I have only 1 year.
So the summer would be good to get a lot.
Yeah.
Of okay.
Yeah.
So we have in the summer we have one of my very 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 favorite teachers comes to us. She comes from another university. She comes from mm-hmm. Toronto, and she comes and teaches a course on women's international human rights. And she teaches that course in the summer. And it's in the Summer Academy, in the Human Rights Academy.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have their stuff here, but that class will usually run from the end of May, first week of June, usually is when that class is.
So it's women's rights?
It's Women's International Human Rights, I believe is the name of the class. But look in the Summer Academy on Human Rights. And there's also going to be another class on development and human rights.
Human rights and development. During the afternoon.
Yeah, and that class, the person who teaches that class has an interest in gender issues also. She might not set the class up as a gender and development class. That's not how it's set up. Mm-hmm. But she has a very keen interest in that. And so those would be two really great classes for you to take in the summer. And don't take any more than that.
Yeah, I won't be able to.
So only take two.
Yeah.
Okay, it's if people try to take three and it's too much.
No, it is difficult for me because I have children too. So that's
No. Do not take more than two. But take those two next summer, and they're both really great.
Both of them are exam class, yeah? It is not paper?
No. The women's human rights class is a paper, but mm-hmm. you have like the whole, it's not?
It's a take home. Well, when I took it, it was a take home.
It's a take home exam?
It kind of feels like a paper because they're very open ended
questions. Okay, but it's.
But it's not a like choose your own.
So why I'm asking like this, because after the class, mm-hmm. I will go back to my country for a few days.
Yeah.
So during this time, I may not have access on the internet, because in Afghanistan the internet is not good.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why if I can work on the paper, even though I will start during the
mm-hmm.
time, so I can submit it at the end of the class. So that's
I think you can submit it at the end of the summer, if I'm not correctly, in like August, right?
But also I will be able to submit it at the end of the class, because I will try my best to do.
Well, she may not give the exam out until the end of the class.
Yeah, I know.
If it's still top as bad.
No, I mean that if I have the opportunity to work on the paper, I will submit it on the end of the class.
But so what we're saying is that it's an exam, but it's not due until August.
Okay. They won't give it out until class is over.
Mm-hmm.
And it's when I did it, and again, this could have changed. Mm-hmm. It was questions that were very broad, sort of like, what's the most important thing? Or, you know,
mm-hmm.
And you have time, you have, from when you download it, you know, a month or two to finish it, and then everyone's are due at 5 p.m. on a certain day, so mm-hmm. you can finish it as quickly or as long as it takes you. It does not take 2 months to do. It takes a good 6 hours. So it's possible if you, before you went home, if you got it on the last day of class, if you put a solid week into it, you could probably finish it before you went home. But if not, you have the time, because they know people take a lot of classes during the summer, mm-hmm. so they kind of let everybody
finish up.
Finish, yeah, you know, at their
regarding
own
the
pace.
Paper,
mm-hmm.
I do not have problems. I can submit off that class, but it is not paper class.
No.
It's
no. No, but it's an exam that's due later. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I don't know about the gender and development class. I don't know how she's organizing that. Because it's a new class, I don't know how she's doing it. Brooke, what are you interested in taking next year? Do you know? Here, get the sheets for me, Angie.
Sorry.
Are you particularly interested in anything besides reproductive health, which we already know? The repro health class, by the way, Brooke, will be in the spring.
Yes, I know.
Okay, I said that. So it's coming. It's just not here yet.
Yeah, because I think she teaches it every spring. Right?
That's right.
Looking at all the several years back.
So yeah, yeah, yeah. It always runs in the spring, so.
Yeah, no, that's my main interest. But, I was really wanted to take this feminist jurisprudence class with you, but it runs right into admin law, which I'm going to take, so I don't know. But
what's the problem with that? Do they overlap? Or
yeah, so this one ends at 3:20 and that one starts at 3, I think.
Oh,
so
that's far.
I did look, but yeah.
Who admin law with who?
A lighter.
Is lighter?
Yeah.
Is there another admin law course taught?
I'm not sure.
Because we have a bunch of good people who teach administrative law. She's very good, but there are lots of them. So it's worth, if you want to do feminist jurisprudence, mm-hmm. it's worth exploring.
This is always offered in the fall.
Feminist jurisprudence?
Teach it every fall. Okay.
Admin law is every semester.
Yeah, admin law
so you
always
can
runs.
Definitely get it in the spring.
And we strongly recommend you take admin law. Like, we very, very firmly recommend you take admin law. But it doesn't have to be with, like, if there's something else you really want to take. And it's often offered both day and night. There's almost always, because everybody needs to take admin law, there's almost always a night section too.
But Professor Topper almost always teaches it at night. He's one of the many.
He's great.
Outstanding people.
Yeah, he's great for the externship class.
Because I think he's doing admin law now, and I think he's doing it at night, and I think he tends to do it in the spring at night.
Yeah, I'm in his class right now. It starts at 6 to 7:20 on Tuesdays and Thursdays is what it is this semester.
It's nice when I say something and it turns out to be
to actually be true.
There's two sections of admin law in the fall. One is with Professor Leiter, and then there is an evening one with Professor Lovers.
Yeah, I'm gonna look.
Anyways, it's not your only shot at admin law, is all we're saying.
I know.
one class that I didn't mention, by the way, is if you're interested in trafficking issues, Professor Chuang's International Trafficking in Persons class is in the fall, and it's the only class she's teaching next year, so she's on leave. In the spring, she is not teaching.
It is also during the day?
It's in the day, I'm sorry. Next semester, we just don't have very much at night. We will have domestic violence, if you're interested in intimate partner violence issues.
There is also a domestic violence itself. It is on the evening?
That's in the evening, that's at 8 p.m. Yeah. So there's American family law and then domestic violence, and those are the only two evening classes that we have next semester in gender. So I didn't look, though, at what the human rights classes are that are being offered at night. There may be a good human rights class for you at night. I haven't looked at that schedule.
No, I did not find it.
One class that's missing from the schedule, because I don't know what time it's going to be offered, is the International and Comparative Law class. And I'm just not sure what time it's being offered yet. Mm-hmm. But that's...
Put it on our list because we promise it's
going to run. Yeah, we promise it's going to run. We just don't know what time. And that's a very good... So on the international side, that's our entry-level foundation class. But this year it was offered in the day... I'm still waiting to hear which professor is going to teach it, and that's why I don't know the time. But I promise it will be offered.
Exactly.
Any other questions? So I do want to put in a quick plug for clinic for the two of you who are 1Ls. think about, so of all the things that I want people to do while they're in law school, I want them to do two things I want that are not required. I want them to take admin law, because it turns out that almost anything you do that involves the government, which turns out to be almost anything, admin law turns out to be super, super, super important in ways that like totally surprise you, right? It's really stealth, and all of a sudden you're like, oh my God, this is an admin law problem. Which agency is actually in charge of this drug or this thing or, you know, whatever it is? And so that's really important. And the second thing is to get experience working with real humans and actually to practice being a lawyer. And we have a whole clinical program set up to help you learn how to do that in a setting that is supervised, right, with our expert faculty. So, Professor Shattuck, do you want to talk about that for like 1 minute before we let these nice people go on their merry way?
Our clinics are all really different, and they're all really the same. So you can take any one of them, and I mean, two people here have been in clinic, so they can say, give you their perspectives, but you will learn about working with clients, a lot about working with clients.
Bless you.
You will see, no matter what you do, you will see administrative law. Even if you do domestic violence law, I promise you, you will see administrative law. The women
really
in the law. The women in the law clinic is the clinic that most explicitly brings in feminist theory, critical race theory, narrative theory, but all of our clinics do it in one form or another. Our civil advocacy clinic does it. Our community economic development in the law. Our international human rights clinic does it. So our immigration law. So all of them are terrific, and they. Both of you could say a word about it more.
And well, I'm on domestic violence clinic right now, so I think I really like about it in particular is that like when you think of DV, you might think of it as a very localized issue, but I ended up working on education issues this semester and helping a client deal with Title IX issues essentially with his school. We do immigration clients, so I've had experience now with asylum and Violence Against Women Act self-petitioners. So while a large component of what we do is civil protection orders and really getting that great trial experience, I've had like a ton of, had the ability to work in a ton of different areas of the law that I never thought I ever would, and it's been a really, really good experience. And it's a year long, both women in the law and domestic violence, so it's great to kind of start something and not have to pass the baton after winter break and, you know, be able to see something, you know, with immigration, not all the way through, but, you know, a fair amount through. Finish an application at the very least.
And get really good at it.
I loved my clinic experience. I had some immigration issues, and then I had a class that, a client that was supposed to be a divorce case, and we never got to the divorce because there were so many health law, Medicare, Medicaid issues, and also disability law issues, housing law issues, so administrative law, lots of regulations, but I really just love working with clients because I have not been able to do otherwise in law school, so I found out that I really want doing that, and that makes me happy, so that was a good lesson to learn, and it gave me more confidence to do it again. I did do the women law clinic.
Yeah, but I had a male client who trafficking
victims. You know, set up a time. Can we make a lunch break?
I mean, all of the, if we look at gender in the law, men have gender. And we see in the cases where we represent issues. Gosh, you see the gender laws and the dynamics of gender operating. So for that as well as for so
I think that's I was really without open eyes, so that's me. All
right. So call me.
So did you have any questions other than feminist
issues? I
think
so. Okay. Also, you're the repro. I took repro with Professor Waters, and I really, really enjoyed it. She covers a wide range of topics. And she's also let you do, it's a paper class, so it can become your upper level writing requirement. That's what I did for mine. And so it's just because it's 30 pages of the requirement instead of 20, and there's no additional credit for that one. So if like credit hours is a concern for your scheduling, that's one way to do the upper level writing requirement with just a 2 credit. Or is it 3 credits or 2 credits?
The class, I think we bumped it to 3 because.
Oh, so it might be, that might have changed, but she will let you do it as for upper level writing requirement.
Great. Well, please, both of you, come and email us. I'm happy to talk. We have office hours, and I'm more than happy to talk through and like literally go through our list of like externships, places where people have worked, and really help you think through, you know, some
what
of
are your office hours?
So I kind of have office hours every Tuesday from 2 to 3, but I am on campus every single day. The problem is that my office is across the street, and so you should email me for an appointment because half the time I'm over here, right? So it's not that I'm not here, it's that I'm not sitting at my desk. So so let me give you my card, and feel free to email me, and the other person you email is Angie because she has lived through this not only as a long-time program coordinator, but as our as a student. So we're both really happy to talk classes, to talk internships, to talk where people got jobs, whenever you want.
And we can talk more about the gender and policy stuff. I just thought, like, 4 more ideas. I forgot to mention, so.
And if you're interested in that, you should join Law Students for Justice.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
And Brooke is the incoming chair.
Yeah, or in the same section.
Oh, great. So there's that. Sorry.
No, okay. I mean, I think we're in the same section.
Are you in section 1?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, hey. Section 8.
I'm from a different section from last semester.
There we go. That's why I can't see anybody behind me anymore.
Thanks, Casper.
Yeah, so yeah. Jordan, there you go.
So the Law Students Reproductive Justice chapter, which is a lot of people who care about women's health policy, and not just the reproductive stuff, because it's reproductive justice, and so it's broad.
Yeah.
Right? Anything that touches health and gender.
I've got a broad gender internship over the summer. So I'm from Minnesota, and mm-hmm. It's a small nonprofit, like, general practice law firm called Gender Justice.
Uh-huh.
So they do a lot of impact litigation.
Very cool.
So,
do you have any idea what they're working on that you might get to be a part of?
So currently there was one, it was a transgender person that was mistreated at a hospital mm-hmm. that they went to, and they're suing under the Affordable Care Act.
Yeah, the new regulations.
And they're also doing something health related with a transgender person donating plasma.
Oh.
Cool.
That's scary. So we can't wait to hear all about it when you come back. Very cool. Yeah. Well, thank you guys for coming. And
I gotta go meet with some clinic students.
Also, we have. 4